putting the band back together.
Forget it. No way.
We're on a mission from God.
I'm back, baby.
I want you to put the word out there. We back up. Understand me? We back up.
They say everyone deserves a second chance. Apparently, so do radio shows.
We are back, baby.
After years apart, countless bad sports takes from everyone else, and more than a few people saying, you know who should do a show together again?
We're back!
Somebody actually made it happen.
We are back!
That's
we
right.
are back!
Steve Zabin and Josh Albrecht. Back together. Again.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
A man who loves digital assets, hates replay, and always leaves early. Milwaukee's adopted hometown son, Steve Zabin.
I can't believe what we're seeing.
What just happened?
It's the Steve Zabin Show with Josh Albrecht on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Today, Josh, that made me say, if I were in a coma, just came out of a coma, and I saw the headline, I would tell the doctor, Doc, put me back into the coma. Because whatever this is, whatever world I've now spawned back into sports-wise,
yeah,
I don't think I can handle it.
Really?
What that headline was?
No.
Netflix adds Michael Irvin to Home Run Derby coverage. Put me back in the coma. What the hell is even that?
That's not right.
Yeah, that right. That's not right, but that's what it is. So
it's legitimate.
I guess net.
That's
so
real.
Let's see. That's a real headline. So now I've got to get up to speed as the All-Star break is coming and the Home Run Derby is Monday. I guess I wasn't paying attention. So the Home Run Derby's on Netflix now only?
I guess.
Not on ESPN, or is it one of these simulcasts where you can go either or? I'll take it here, I'll take it there. And part of me is going to tune into Netflix anyway, or log on.
Sure.
Punch in,
yeah.
Whatever you want to call it, to just listen to what Michael Irvin, the former cocaine turbocharged lunatic that he is, say about the Home Run Derby. I don't know. Maybe it'll be great. Maybe it'll be insightful. Who knows?
How could it be great?
Probably not going to be great.
Okay.
I just know that when I read the headline, I'm like, okay, that's a put me back into the coma headline of, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. What are we doing?
That sounds like someone owed him a favor, is what that means.
It feels like Netflix, like, sure, we'll put this guy on. Netflix is famous because they only do a couple of games a year, whether it's the NFL or whatever. They're like, let's just hire everybody. Let's get Bert Kreischer on the coverage, you know? Bert Kreischer did the Christmas Day game for Netflix that last year, at least was part of it. They throw Kay Adams on there. Like, would it be better with Kay Adams? Sure. You ever seen Kay Adams? You ever heard Kay Adams? She is a pocket full of sunshine. Put her on. Okay, sure. We're Netflix. We have infinity money.
I'd much rather have Kay Adams on the Home Run Derby, to be fair.
I'd put her into lots of situations. Put her on TV, on screen, whenever possible. Okay, welcome aboard, everybody. You know me. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. We've got 1 hour to get it done, and there's a lot to get to here on the Steve Zabin Show with Josh Albrecht, who is resplendent today in his Disney Roosevelt, Roosevelt shirt.
Yeah, of course it is. Bright,
like my,
bright and happy today.
Do you like my summer shirt?
I do. Look at you, and it matches your hat.
The Aaron Hills hat. It picks up the green, the two
yes.
of them. This shirt, I think this shirt was about $16.99 at Costco.
I mean, it doesn't have stains on it yet. So,
well, it's got four-way stretch. It's very breathable. Like, I don't know where Costco's getting these clothes from that they're actually quite good and they're so dirt cheap, but I'm sure it's because economies of scale.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They're buying them by the pallet load. So, that said, what a time to be a Brewer fan. What a day yesterday. What a glorious random Tuesday doubleheader. Got to make up a game against the Cardinals from May 5th, and they just absolutely delivered on all fronts. First of all, the starters went 7 innings each. Thank you very much. Only had to use 3 bullpen arms. Miz was amazing again. Then you had the debut, or not the debut, but he had the breakout game of Luis Lara.
And the debut.
And the debut.
That was his first
game. Third major league at bat, and gets his first RBI single. Mm-hmm. Bases loaded, two outs. And then later comes wheeling into home at about Mach 4.
Yeah. Whee! Just
whee! The kid can fly. So, I mean, couple observations. One, he is tiny. Like, he is a small fella. But, as we know with, you know, Jose Altuve, big things can come in small packages.
Yes.
So he's a small guy, but he can absolutely fly. And so it's going to be super fun now seeing him in the lineup, hopefully for many, many, many years to come with no hiccups along the way. But we're baseball fans. We know that sometimes guys, they peak and they valley and they come and they go, and we're going to be patient with them. Okay. But you got him with Pratt now, which is the next wave of the young guns that keep coming and coming and coming, which is amazing. It started with Mitchell and Terang 4 years ago now.
Yeah.
And finally, Mitchell's gotten healthy and he's got some traction, which I'm super happy about because I was the original Garrett Mitchell stan. So I'm like, yes, let's go, buddy. Don't forget about him. Then you add in Frelick and Chorio. Then you layer in Miz and Gasser. Gasser gets a huge setback due to an injury. Okay, he's kind of like on layaway. Mm-hmm. Now he's back and just delivering. And we're waiting for the next wave of guys who are coming as well, including my favorite name ever, which is Jesus Made, or Jesus Made. You got Jet Williams. You got Brandon Sproat. Look at the young talent that's coming. And the guys that they are putting their money on early to get them at a good rate are all delivering. And it really started with Contreras. Contreras behind the plate continues to be the most not talked about home run acquisition ever as a player. And I love the guy so much. He also whapped Laura on the head really hard as he was going past the lineup of guys. Did you see that?
I did.
They're like, what was that all about? And you just have to say, well, it's got to be an inside joke because they're baseball players, right?
Right. They all got to have those inside jokes.
Whap! Hey, who was
okay,
that?
Okay, ouch.
Yeah, okay, all right, thank you. I guess welcome to the bigs. That's the way it's done. But you've got these guys that they're like, look, we're putting money on you because we believe in you. Like Chorio. Chorio's left-handed at bat against who was the position player to come in as the Cardinals were just like, okay, we give up.
Yeah, I mean, a position player, you love to see that, right? That's like when a team is just saying, that's it. Wave the white flag.
Right. Can we just end this game now? Like, just get this over with. And the reaction from the dugout after Chorio made a very credible swing and lifted the ball at least to medium deep right field.
Yep.
Let's call it. A credible swing. Granted, it was on what is the equivalent of an Ephus pitch from the position player, right? So it wasn't much, but it was a decent swing, right? Even Murph said so afterwards. Like, yeah, it was a pretty good swing. To see the reaction, Josh, of the dugout, the broad smiles, the joy, the wonder. This is a hard game, baseball, played by hard men who have to stand in a chalk rectangle and face 105 miles an hour of bone-shattering heat with a tiny, hard ball. But it's a game also for boys to have fun. It's the game we played as kids. Mm-hmm. And so to see the boys having fun, laughing at Chorio and his left-handed at-bat, first one ever, was just great. Now, there's a sidebar to this, which is, what is the baseball etiquette, per se, on doing something like that? Like, are guys going to have to keep their head on a swivel and watch their lips for, you know, headhunting by the Cardinals the next two games because this was some violation of etiquette? Or were they like, okay, fine, we had a position player, you had a guy turn around and bat lefty, nobody cares?
I think they would have preferred it that way. They just want to get the game over with. Perfect.
Okay.
I think it's more of when if you just are constantly jacking up home runs against a position player, then if I'm the Cardinals, I'm going, guys, we're admitting the game is over.
Right,
for the love
of
God, let's all go home.
Right. Okay, that's what I figured. I mean, you're right. When you're stealing bases, when you're up big, when you're trying to lay down a bunt to break up a no-hitter, those are ones that end up becoming chippy deals between two teams. This is a case of, okay, we'll just get the game over. So it was a fun day yesterday. They're 7-1 now against the Cardinals. I know the hatred for the Cubs is still top shelf, but that second-tier hatred of the best fans in baseball, Josh, the Cardinals, yet another non-sellout there at the home of the best fans in baseball. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, like that whole myth has been popped.
I hate the Cardinals more than the Cubs. I've gone on record. I've said it. The Cardinals are the team that have stopped the Brewers from winning a World Series. They did it in 1982. They stopped them from getting back to one in 2011. And then they went on to win in 2011. The Cubs fans I hate more than the Cardinals fans. But the Cubs organization, while I hate them, is not the same level as the Cardinals.
Right. Right. So that's glorious. 7-1 now. They've basically locked up the season series with more to come. Two more in this series here. And they're 25 games over 500.
Yeah.
25 games over 500. That's just bonkers. And by the way, the franchise now plus one over 500.
That's right.
Cumulative.
Yep.
Since joining the NL, which is a statistical thing that I don't know who really gets into. Do you know if anyone's like, finally, this day has come?
We've been waiting decades.
We've been waiting
for this. No. No, that's just an interesting stat. It's the same thing with the NFL when you see, oh, the Packers have been playing football for 200 years and now this is their record. It's just a fun stat for stat
25 games over, plus one cumulative, number one flamethrower in MLB, best character slash manager in the bigs, young guys coming, wave after wave, Mitchell Terang, Frelick and Chorio, Miz and Gasser, now Lara and Pratt, soon to be Williams and Sproat, talented youth at a discount locked up, bonus babies acquired, like starting first baseman Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah,
it was a complete reclamation project, and it's like, he's great.
Bowers Quinn stepping Priester, up big.
Yeah, Bowers is having a resurgence this year. Quinn Priester, who's currently on the IL, or IR, I always call it both, was an unbelievable find as well. Like, Matt Arnold and company are killing it. And they're great at getting they've been great at getting out of guys at the right time and getting a lot in return, whether it's Burns or Devin Williams or Peralta. They've lost the two brainchilds of the operation they thought from years ago, which was of course Stearns and then Council, and they replace him with better. It's amazing. Plus, no criminals, no either. Like that goes a long way. I was trying to think, the last guy I really hated on this team was Jesse Winker. He was the last guy that was like, ugh, this guy. What a fun team. I know. Until they beat the Dodgers and go to the World Series and win it, it's not going to matter for anything, says some hardcore fans. But I'm here to say, people, once again, these are the days right now. You need to embrace these days. Soak it in. Come on, Natalie Merchant. Turn it up. I know. It's a bite of the apple. It's a summer of fun and entertainment, according to the owner. And people want more. I get it. It's human nature to always want more. But look at what you got. Pretty good. Pretty good.
I mean, it's also way more fun when you're doing it twice in one day, right? Baseball is a season of ups and downs, roller coasters of the whole world's on fire when you lose four in a row to woohoo when you win three or four in a row. But when you're beating the St. Louis Cardinals twice in one day, damn, that feels good.
That's good. These are the days. Savor it. What a season they're having. Yet again, after a little bit of a stumbling start. So, that said, there's the Brewers for you right there, and it's good. There was a trade in the NBA last night that involved 6 teams. And one of the teams was your Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
They acquire Caris LeVert from the Pistons in exchange and also got a couple of second-round picks in this trade. Now, the LeVert thing, first of all, I don't know how hardcore NBA fans really dig into and analyze these massive, complicated trades. Are they like the meme of the crazy guy with the bulletin board and the yarn and the strings and the, you know, the pins, and they're connecting them all? What is that meme from, by the way? You know the one I'm talking about?
I'm not positive what that's from.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
I think
it's a crime scene investigator, and he's got on the board at the office, the bulletin board, pictures and notes and names,
yeah,
and pins with strings of yarn that are connecting,
yeah,
different things. I feel like that's how NBA trades involving this many teams, this many players.
Wait, are you talking about the It's Always Sunny?
I think that's the one you're talking about. He looks like he's crazed and frantic, yes, like explaining.
Yes, that's when It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay. That's how I feel these trades are. How am I supposed to really get a handle on what does this mean, getting Caris LeVert and two 2027 second-round picks for Taurean Prince and Gary Harris?
I mean, I couldn't get rid of everybody. For picks is where I've been at with this team.
You want more picks. Even those second rounders are supposedly worthless, some say.
I just have a really hard time believing that either of those guys was making an impact on this team in a year or two. And so this is a rebuild. In a rebuild, you get rid of the guys that aren't going to be doing anything for a chance for someone that could be something. That's the risk you take. It made sense. It all made sense.
So I looked to the guys that, you know, obviously cover the team and can make sense of it. Eric Name writes for The Athletic, says, update on the picks. Bucks get their own second rounder in 2027 back from the Pistons. And then the least favorable of the Mavericks and Brooklyn Nets second round picks in 2027 as well. So there's that. Also, our friend Ty Windisch from the Euro Step podcast said that LeVert is good because for a quick $7 million this year that they're going to have to pay him before the deadline, you can trade him or cut him because he's on an expiring contract. So LeVert was an appealing acquisition because he's about to expire. And that's how the modern NBA works. So that's fine. You get some picks. They're second rounders. Mm-hmm. They're like Mardi Gras beads. You throw them out. You put them around your neck. Whatever. They're cheap. Maybe one of them hits. Who knows? That's a good thing. But what's interesting is that the way different teams look at second round picks, because part of that six team deal was the Wizards sending away a couple of second round picks to be part of this thing to get Chris Middleton back. You remember Chris Middleton?
Well, of course.
34-year-old, creaky knees. He's a 10.3 rebound guy, and there's some people in DC who are like, "This is great. We get a veteran guy back." And I'm like, "Okay, I love Chris. Saved our ass, right?
Yeah,
on the run to the championship
in 2021.
We'll always live in the highest pantheon of appreciation. But like I said, 34, creaky knees, a 10-3 guy, as interchangeable a part as any. And so the pundits are saying, well, so they gave up a couple second rounders. They're worthless anyway. So I'm like, okay. From the Bucks, and they're like, hey, we got some second rounders. Those are good. And then other teams like, have our second rounders. We don't care.
Well, it all depends on where that team and organization are at. We'll take as many shots as we can. The Wizards just had the number one overall pick in this year's draft. They're going, yeah, we'll take any veteran leadership that can coach up this guy. Different situations will play that out.
Totally. Now, are you a guy that can watch Summer League?
No.
In the NBA?
No.
Neither am I.
I can't.
I won't. I'll peep the highlights. I know ESPN's going to feed me the highlights because Summer League sits right in the lowest of low troughs of the summer, you know, doldrums. So we're right at the bottom. We're at super low tide right now. All-Star Game marks true low tide. The Wednesday after the All-Star Game Tuesday is, of course, the infamous Boo Ben Canop Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dead bottom of the calendar year in sports. Then it's all the way up from there. Things start coming back in. You start getting camps opening in the NFL. trade deadline in Major League Baseball. Then you get, you know, preseason games. Then you get the college week zero by the end of August. So it ain't going to be long. I mean, good Lord, it's July 8th, Josh.
I know.
It's July 8th. The summer's flying by right now. Sour's flying by as well, I know. But, you know, summer league, I'll peep the highlights. I ain't watching no games. Because, like, as far as games go, they're the loosest structured non-actual NBA games you'll ever see. It is truly glorified full uniform pickup in a full arena that is on television, which is a testament to the NBA turning something that's junk into something they can sell and market. But I won't watch it.
Yeah, so. It's just not going to sell to you.
No, it won't sell to me. Okay, I want to talk about the Egypt screw job yesterday in the World Cup. You know my stance on replay, but VAR yesterday set a new low bar for the evils and the absolute Satan that replay is in sports. That's coming up next. It is the Steve Zabin Show with Josh Albrecht, live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Se debía la pelota que cae al área. No pudo Julián Messi.
That was the great Andres Cantor on Telemundo after Messi scored to tie their game against Egypt before winning 3-2 in stoppage time by an incredible header into the upper 90. Welcome back. Steve Zabin Show with Josh Albrecht here. I know many of you who were temporarily into something in the air.
I don't think
maybe,
so.
Maybe, maybe not. All right, well, we're going to get the first dump.
It happened.
It happened. After they
over
after
under they, day three.
Day three. All right, how long is our dump? 15 seconds?
I don't know.
I don't want to say anything. I want to start clean again.
Yeah.
So maybe I could fill the time here. Do 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 do.
Okay,
do,
I think do, you're good.
Do 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 do. Okay. So, after the USA pooped their pants.
There you go.
Perfect. Against
Egypt.
Belgium. Belgium.
Oh,
Belgium.
I guess, yeah.
After we pooped our pants against Belgium, many of you said, okay, soccer.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I urge you, you may hate soccer. And certainly what I'm about to go into when it comes to VAR has convinced me that I'll never be into soccer if this is how they're going to do it, because it's completely absurd and disgusting and not even sports. But
what is VAR?
I'll explain in a second. Okay. So, first of all, it's a good question for those that are casuals. My point is, you gotta at least stick around for the spectacle of what's left of the World Cup on our soil, because despite the video-assisted review, that's VAR, in soccer, despite the absolute crime, the war crime that was committed against Egypt yesterday, the actual comeback by Argentina and the strike by Messi is the stuff of legend. It is electrifying. It is amazing. It is like you heard it in the voice of Andres Cantor, who's seen so many great goals through the years that even his voice was cracking because Messi on just a little short hop of a loose ball high in the box just whistled a strike that ricocheted off the keeper's fingers under the crossbar and in to tie the game. And then they win in stoppage time. As far as matches go, somebody track this. I'm going to talk about soccer nerds. You ready? Get a load of this.
Yeah, soccer.
Some guy said the Argentina comeback against Egypt is one of the best matches in football history. I analyzed 50,000 games of Fable to show just how crazy it was. What's Fable? I don't know what Fable is.
It's soccer.
Of the 10,138 times that a team has been up 2-0 at the 79-minute mark or later, only 16 times have they ever made a comeback at the end of 90 minutes. That's 0.16%. So what happened was a 0.16% chance, and it did, and then they won the game. And it's the first time it's ever happened in the World Cup. So there's that. And it's Messi, who is the most popular player in the world. Also, if you look online, there are videos from security cameras on the streets of Buenos Aires, and it's all dead quiet as the match is going on, and then Messi scores, and then out of nowhere, cars start honking their horns, people come out on their balconies, Josh, and they're like, yay, goal! It's crazy.
Right. They live for that.
They live for this. Okay. But what happened to help Argentina stay alive was an abomination, because Egypt had a goal disallowed by video-assisted review, VAR, over a minute after they had scored the goal. Mm-hmm. Because there was perceived to be a foul all the way on the other end of the field that started the play. Did you see the disallowed goal in question?
I did.
Okay. Somebody counted up just the number of touches and how long it was. You ready? Here it is right here. 18 touches, 6 defensive actions, more than 20 seconds, and over 100 meters from the opponent's goal. Clearly not the same immediate attacking action. Absolute screamer canceled and a crime against football. Now there are people defending it, saying, well, this is what VAR was for. Even though it was a long way away from the other goal, the bottom line is that turnover let Egypt possess the ball and it led to a goal, so we got to get it right. This is not sports. This is not even close to being sports. How could you even invest time, emotion, money, or any amount of give up about a game, a sport in which they will take a joyous, exciting moment like, yeah, we scored. And by the way, awesome goal, by the way, as the Egyptian forward just made a run, just weaving through guys, passing at the last minute, burying the shot. Like, this is the excitement you live for in sports, to then have some bureaucrat behind a TV screen in a booth a minute later go, no. Do the Consuela. No.
And no goal. No.
It's a foul. It's a foul. Sorry. More lemon pledge is not a goal. The Egypt coach went off in his presser.
Oh, of course.
Basically saying this was a complete and total injustice. And he is not wrong in that regard.
Do you know what I say to that guy? I say,
calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
I say that.
Calm down, Greg.
It's soccer. It's soccer.
What is that from?
Superbad.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer.
Calm down.
It's soccer.
Love that movie. So I just don't know how soccer fans can stomach this. I don't know how they can defend this. I don't know how they can say this is okay, that we want the quote beautiful game, as they call it, to be done this way. I know there are guys who love replay, who believe in getting things right. That is very important. Mike Keller, and I've been through it with them over and over again. I've tried to explain to them that getting it right is overrated. I don't say that it's unimportant or they shouldn't try to get it right, but I'm just saying, remember, it's overrated to get it right. The getting it right is not as important as the excitement and the free flow of what sports is meant to be.
Yeah.
But the other problem is that there's corruption, we know, in FIFA. And there is all kinds of shadiness that people are always suspect to. And when a team with a player who has a global impact like Messi is on the benefiting end of a highly dicey call,
mm-hmm.
No bueno.
Yeah, I mean, that's when they're looking at everything.
really shady.
The only reason why there isn't more outrage here in the States is because it's soccer. You just have to put this into comparison. If this was the Super Bowl, and it was, just imagine if there was a time when Tom Brady got bailed out in, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. But think about the outrage that we have in the United States for moments when that happens. That's how the rest of the world reacts to what happened with Argentina and Egypt yesterday.
Right, right. And I just don't, you know, I don't know. The thing that I'm concerned about, Josh, is that when things like this become a thing in another sport, in another country, another part of the world, they don't just stay there. It is like a virus. It oftentimes jumps and breaks contain in the sports world because the flopping that we so hate in the NBA came from soccer, okay? That's where the virus came from. Yes. No, it did.
Yeah.
It did. So unfortunately, NBA players realize that the only way to get more calls is to game the system and to flop and to sell calls. And we don't have a good antidote now for flopping in the NBA. They had a rule where they were going to fine guys for flopping and you get so many fines, get a suspension. Do they ever apply it?
No. When was the last time you even heard about that?
No,
rule.
Right, exactly.
It's been years.
Right, right. And then, you know, finally the Thunder, the biggest flopping gaming biatches in the game, they finally lose, and they're screaming bloody murder, like, why does everyone hate us? Sam Presti's like, it's unfair. We're just, you know, why do people not like us? And they're like, because you're dishonest. You're flopping you-know-whats. So flopping is a cancer on the sport, and it came from soccer. Now that soccer's like, hey, we could use guys in a booth watching video to overturn scores over a minute later, you know damn well our leagues, especially the Shield, is going, maybe we could use this. Already they've expanded the role of replay well beyond what they were supposed to do. I worry. I worry this is coming to the NFL.
Oh, it will.
Yeah. And then the day that it benefits a star player, Mahomes, against somebody else, you're going to be pissed. And like myself, you will be powerless to do anything about it. Just have to sit and suffer.
Technology is not getting worse. It is only getting better. And it will be applied more and more to all sports. The more that someone goes, hey, did you know that the experience for the fans sitting at home can become more and more realistic if we add 30 more cameras with 10 times the zoom of this camera?
And you know what? I'm not against any of that. I'm only against using the technology as an officiating tool because it's a poor tool to officiate with, because when you're slowing things down to the frame in a 240 frame super slow-mo, it lies. Still frames lie. We talk about this all the time when after there's a big controversial call in the NFL or college football and somebody pulls out a still frame and they put it on their Twitter account. They're like, see,
he caught it. You see right here, right. He caught it.
Right. Or he was being held. Like those still frames lie. Don't be a still frame warrior. That's one microsecond of an entire flowing play.
But Zave, this isn't going away. If the technology is there to get that image, then the NFL is going to say, all sports are going to say, well, then we might as well use that image.
Unfortunately, yes, unfortunately, because technocrats always advocate for more technology. And bureaucrats then lobby for more layers of bureaucracy. And then the games that we love, that we watch, that are just for fun, people. They're just for fun. We're just having fun. We're just distracting our mundane lives. Nobody lives or dies based on the outcome of these games. Sure, you can gamble on them, but you should gamble responsibly at the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
There you go. Listen,
need help?
NBC,
call 1-800-GAMBLER.
NBC wouldn't be able to make a bunch of money from Walmart if they don't have the 4K Skycam. Okay?
True. And again, I'm not against it. I don't want it to be used to make calls and officiate. And you know that the stupid chip in the ball in soccer that was used to overturn the Croatia goal, which screwed them, That's coming to the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
I think the NFL already has a chip in the ball that they use for data purposes only, but it ain't long before they say, well, we're getting all this data. Why don't we take the data, and then we'll apply it and let the referees have access to it.
Right. This chip has been accurate 99.92% of the time.
Yeah.
Let's just...
Next thing you know, Ron Torbert is ruining your Thanksgiving because the snickometer inside the NFL ball said somebody touched it, and it's an incomplete pass. Boo. All right. I have something coming up. Do you love when athletes or famous people tweet airlines bitching about something?
Yes. Yes.
I love it too.
One of us.
Right. We have a new all-timer in terms of a just, oh my God, this is so funny and embarrassing for the person tweeting the airline that supposedly did them dirty. And to my shock and chagrin, it's not American. American is usually the one getting the brunt end of all of this.
Well, yeah, now that Spirit died.
Right. Is that coming back anytime soon?
Maybe.
Do you follow that as a guy that used to love flying the big yellow bus?
I mean, it was a way to get my family to Disney.
And you're right, and you knew how to game the system.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at satellite images of the fleet of the big yellow buses sitting out in the Nevada desert?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Yep.
I can see Josh zooming in going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I count 106 737s. Yesterday, there was only 108. One of them left. Where did it go? Are they coming back? I hope something does. We need discount airlines in this country. All right, coming up, final segment of the Steve Zabin Show with Josh Albrecht on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Here for a good time, not a long time. Our 1 hour is ending way too short. Steve Zabin Show with Josh Albrecht here on 105.7 The Fan. I told Josh something during the break that he's like, "Whoa, we got to talk about this."
I'm broken.
Not today. I'm like, God. Tomorrow we can talk about it.
Oh,
not today.
Okay.
He was floored at this revelation I gave you. But,
what are you doing?
Okay. So you know, flying is always a interesting adventure, right?
Yeah.
Things happen. Delays, inconveniences, rude people, sometimes flat-out violence, depending on the airline you fly. And sometimes the people who think they're famous or important that have a certain number of followers on social media think that, hey, if I just go to my Twitter account, this will fix things. I will call out the airline, and they will make it right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No one else does it.
Well, Chris Carter, former Minnesota Viking, the guy who once implored Teddy Bridgewater to get a, quote, fall guy.
Yep.
When he was in the NFL. Bridgewater's like looking behind and going, why is he picking me? I'm responsible. I don't need a fall guy. I'm not going to commit crimes in the NFL. What are you talking about? Chris Carter, at Chris Carter 80, Josh, was on a Delta flight. And he tweeted them saying, hey, I'm on the 8.5-hour flight from Honolulu to Atlanta. You promise with your Delta One services that you provide seat mattresses, but there aren't any on our flight. Very disappointed. Next year, when I schedule my return trip to Hawaii, I'll look at American Airlines or other carriers.
Mm.
Now, if that was, first of all, these seat mattresses, have you heard of this new product the airlines are trying?
Yes, I've seen that.
Yes. In other words, you buy three seats for two people and they provide this mattress that fits between the seats when you put the seat rest, the armrests up. So it's like a miniature bed.
Yeah.
It's sort of a cheap way to get first class. Well, apparently Delta forgot the mattresses or they ran out. And Chris Carter was not having it. Well, yeah. I only was made aware of this because PFT commenter said, absolute nightmare, prayers up, Chris.
Do season
And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh my God, did Chris Carter get a horrible diagnosis or something? What's wrong?
Yeah.
And then I read the tweet, and I'm like, oh, okay, horrible. Now, here's the best part of it, as if this wasn't good enough. Chris Carter tweeted, at Delta Sirlines, because he didn't proofread his tweet. At Delta Sirlines, S instead of A. As if that wasn't good enough, somebody rushed to go create an account.
Of course they did.
At Delta Sirlines, and it tweeted back at Carter, hey, at Chris Carter 80, calm down, bro. Then they suspended the fake account at Delta Sirlines.
That's amazing.
This is great. This is fantastic.
Man,
I feel like I feel like Delta Sirlines.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they better reinstate the at Delta Sirlines.
Delta Sirlines should buy Spirit.
They should buy Spirit. Plus, if he thinks that American is going to treat him and his family any better, boy, does he have something coming to him, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Look at, man, the stocks for Delta today took a huge hit because of Chris Carter.
I can't wait to watch Squawk Box and say, well, Delta Sirlines is trading sharply down today after a tweet from Chris Carter, the newly formed airline that has no planes, no hubs, no routes, no executives, saw their stock plummet in after-hour trading.
Oh.
All right, we're done today. Good time, quick time. Thanks, Josh, as always.
Yeah, buddy.
We'll see everyone tomorrow.